Well, I'm thankful to be alive this morning. No, I didn't have a close call that I know of, but I'm thankful for the life and the breath that God gives me. And for the opportunity, or the privilege, I should say, to serve Him. And to serve Him with you all, and to worship the Lord with you all. I've thought different times how life would have been different, for me in particular, if I wasn't raised to know God and the gospel. As of some of the prayer requests, the ones Aunt Noreen put in for the children, having children, and so on and so forth. And I look at my life and say, I'm so blessed that I was given the opportunity to know the Lord, to learn of the gospel and what Jesus came to do for me and for the whole world. And I appreciate that. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. That's not my burden this morning. Just wanted to share that little testimony. I have a question to ask you all. Do you know of any secrets? Of course, we all know a lot of secrets. And I'm not asking for you all to share them this morning necessarily. There's all kinds of different secrets. There's those that people have maybe about one another. We'll just say maybe between a husband and a wife. There's little secrets we know about each other that no one else knows. Or maybe family secrets, you know, just within the family or whatever the case is. But there's also these little secrets like secret recipes. Have you known of people that have had this special dish that they make for a potluck dinner or for their Thanksgiving dinner or whatever? I've heard of different individuals that have these secret little recipes that they don't let out. No one else knows how to fix it. But it's so awesome. Like, well, it's my secret. There's also people that have little secrets or tricks to gardening. That they get these monster tomatoes or watermelon or whatever. It's like, how do they get those? And well, there's sometimes some little secrets to it, little tips. Then there's people that seems like they have a way of making a lot of money. And so sometimes it's not just the education or the people they know, but there are some secrets, some tricks to not only saving money, but knowing how to make money. And people write books about it. People give seminars on them. Then there's also the little, secrets of how to keep from, well, we got the season upon us here, of staying healthy, not getting sick. You know, there's all kinds of little remedies, little things that people have done over the years, and little things that people do that keeps them from getting colds or all these different things. But these are all things that we should say are temporal, so to speak. Not really any spiritual essence to them. But I want to share a little story, something that happened recently that was a lesson learned, not just for me necessarily, but this other individual, and a little secret that something that he overlooked, that now he knows the secret, okay? I worked with a fella that he had acquired a fishing collection from an individual. And it was a large collection, a lot of fishing poles and reels and lures and all kinds of collectible things. And he bought the whole lump sum for, $2,000 or $3,000, and it was several hundred pieces. And he's been in the process of selling them. And he sold a little wooden lure that he was selling them in an auction online. And this little lure, he ended up selling for $200. And he didn't think it was worth, maybe 20, 30 bucks. But some individuals contacted him after he sold it and was inquiring about it, saying, what about this? And come to find out, an individual told him, do you realize that lure is worth a lot more money than what you sold it for? And he's like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, that's only one of eight known of these lures in the world. And he's like, really? He's like, yeah, and it was probably from the late 1800s. It's an old lure. And he's like, okay. And he's like, well, what is it worth? And he said, well, upwards of $10,000. And that made him sick. But here is the secret. The guy on the phone told him, he's like, go find you a book that collectors use for lures. And go look it up yourself. And you know what? He had a book. Didn't even think to open it himself. He had the secret right there, right at his disposal. And it made him sick. He could not sleep. He's just tossed and turns like, why? What cannot? And come to find out, we did some more research. It's possibly worth up to $20,000 to $25,000. And anyway, so, but the point is, there was a secret, a very simple solution. If he would have looked this up, research, put just a little bit of effort, probably would have taken him 10 minutes and he would have found that. Can you imagine? I can't fathom the disappointment that he had there. But, and there's more to the story. I won't share it all here this morning, but it's one of those things that really struck with me, struck a chord. I'm like, how many other times have I been so close to something, and there was a little secret there, if I would have really inquired or sought for an answer or tried to figure something out, I was that close. Brother Marty Clevenger shared a story, I believe, of a gold digger that came within inches of striking a deep vein of gold. He'd been digging for a long time and finally just gave up. And the next guy came along and just dug for a little bit, and boom, there he was, filthy rich. But I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of things in life. I thought of the story of King Solomon. You know, he was given a lot, obviously. And he was handed a peaceful kingdom. His father David had labored and was quite a warrior and won all these victories. And the kingdom had peace. And then he asked God for wisdom, and God granted that to him. And then he gave him all the wealth as a bonus. So King Solomon had it made. But you know, there was a little secret. He didn't go far enough, because there came a point when the kingdom was divided after him, and all the disruption that happened in the kingdom. And no doubt if he was able to see into the future a little bit, to realize the heartache he was going to cause upon not only himself, but his family and the kingdom of Israel, perhaps he would have changed his ways a little bit. But here's the thing. King Solomon had at his disposal, he didn't have to worship or allow his new wives to worship all these other gods, okay, in the kingdom. But he allowed them to for his own obvious reasons. But he had the secret all along. He asked God for wisdom and God gave it to him. Could have he not asked God again? Just one more time, maybe twice. Lord, would you have me to marry this other lady, this other princess, this other queen or whatever? Or would you have me to do this or that? But he was so close, but yet so far. He depended and relied upon his own wisdom. And maybe others in the kingdom were encouraging him that, you know what? To keep the peace in this kingdom, you better start reaching out to these other nations, you know, using man's wisdom. Well, again, the secret was with the Lord the whole time. And there's other examples, other secrets we could talk about. But I want to read the scripture, the focus of the little discourse this morning. In Psalms 25 and verse 14. You see, a lot of the things I was speaking of earlier had to do with the temporal things. That little lure in 100 years, who cares? You know, the money would already be spent. The lure would be probably lost and damaged by then. But when it comes to the heart issues, the issues of the soul, it's different. In Psalms 25 and verse 14, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant." That's quite a verse. The secret of the Lord. I want to write that phrase on the board here. I know I just shared the story of King Solomon. And to us reading this after the fact, it seems so obvious. Like, King Solomon, why did you... I'll just put it bluntly in my own words. Why were you so stupid? Why did you do that? You had it made. And then look at the mess you caused. I dare say he had some regret. In fact, I know he did. He lamented a lot of that. Some of his writings bear that out. He lamented his path, the course that he took. But there was a secret. And that same secret is available to you and I today. And the key is, in this verse, the secret of the Lord is what? With them that fear Him. Now let's just focus on that part alone. With them that fear Him. What does that mean? Is it fear in the aspect of, oh, I'm afraid He might hurt me? Or no. The fear of the Lord means to reverence Him as who He really is. He's the God of the universe. He's the God of this earth. He's the God of you and I, of mankind. He made us, created us, made a wonderful plan of salvation for us. And to reverence Him for who He really is. To let God be God. To allow Him to work and move as He pleases. Not the contrary, where we work and move as we please. And that was the contrast, or that was the issue that King Solomon had. Is he started working and moving as he pleased, as he saw was fit, and he lost the edge, if you could say, of the fear of the Lord. Remember when the temple was first built, or early on in his career there as king, when Queen Sheba came to observe King Solomon, and she was amazed by his ascent up to the temple, up the amazement of how he came before the Lord in reverence, bowing down, and everyone was just... It was amazing that this is King Solomon and he has all this power and authority and wealth, yet he worships the Lord. And it was obvious. It touched her. She was impressed. But he lost the edge. You see, he lost the potency of it there, because later on, it makes me wonder, I don't know this, but did he still follow through those same actions that impressed Queen of Sheba? I don't know. And more importantly than that, what was in his heart? Well, it was obvious. He didn't have enough of the fear of the Lord. You know, it would behoove us all to reverence the Lord more. I'm going to talk to myself here this morning. To really recognize who God... Again, let's not be intimidated by Him and be this, you know, afraid of Him. That's not what this fear is talking about. But to lift Him up in the position that He deserves, the position that He is, all right? It's, in other words, it's acknowledging who God is. That's really what we're talking about. That's fearing the Lord. That is the secret of the Lord. That's the basis of it. Because if you believe there is a God, and that He's the one and only true God, then that is the basis of our foundation of the plan of salvation, the basis of our existence. And if you have that true fear and reverence of God for who He is, that's the foundation. That's the secret that this world is missing out on. You think about it. They took prayer, the Bibles, out of the schools. And now it's in the workplace that, you know, you're reprimanded for, you know, they allow other religions to pray. But, oh, God forbid if you pray, you might cause a disruption. But there's losing this true reverence for who God is. The concept that this is the one and only omnipotent, powerful God that can do anything He wants to. He controls the winds, the waves, the storms, the earthquakes, all those things. You know, you look back, remember the story of the Tower of Babel? You know, they lost their fear and reverence for God. They returned to themselves. They're like, let's see what kind of tower we can make to reach up there. But the work of our hands, you see, God was displeased with that. And what did God do? Sent confusion. He proved again that you think you have control. Now watch this.
boom.
Made all these language, you know, like, what? I don't understand. What? I just heard you 15 minutes ago. Now I can't understand you. You see, God brought that upon in that day and age. But I look nowadays. You know, there's things I believe that God does to get man's attention, mankind in general. I believe some of the natural disasters that take place are none other than God's hand trying to get the attention of mankind. Trying to get them to say, to realize, whoa, this thing is bigger than me. I can't change a hurricane. I can't stop a tsunami. All these things that I can't stop an earthquake. I can't predict an earthquake. Oh, they can try, but they really can't predict an earthquake like you would hope we could. Because God has control over that. And if here's the thing, that all these physical, tangible things that people are seeing and experiencing, that God is in control of those. God is trying to say, the secret is, if you would get to know me, and if you would reverence me, I could have control over your life. I could protect you. I could guide you. I could instruct you. I could teach you to save you from all the destruction that's around. Where you wouldn't be afraid for your life to the extent where you try to do all these things. In fact, I'll share a little story here in a little bit about a king or an emperor that tried his best to preserve himself. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But I want to shift gears here a little. And speaking of God and how we need to reverence Him, there's an aspect of it that as humans, it's natural. We like to figure things out. Is that not true? I do anyway. I like to research things and figure things out, ask questions, and how does this work, and why did that do that? But you know, when it comes to my soul, it's even more important. Sometimes it's like, well, Lord, why did you allow this to happen in my life? You know, God has an answer for that. He's not just going to sit there and say nothing. You know, God has a reason why He allows things to take place in your life. Think of the scripture in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Familiar passage. And there's two sides of the scripture, so to speak. But I want to focus on the side of really putting God in reverence and respect of who He is. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 8 and 9, you see, God puts a limit on our knowledge and our understanding. And there's a reason why He does. But in Isaiah 55 and 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Do you believe that's true this morning? It is. Whether you believe it or not, it is true. God's ways are, as one scripture says, past finding out. There's some things we will never know and understand on this side of eternity. God set it up that way. He said it so, and that's how it's going to be. Now, there are things I believe God is wanting us to get to know and to understand. It's like He's trying to lure us, to encourage us, like, I got some more secrets, some more things I want to share with you, but you've never asked. You've never inquired. You've never researched. You've never dug into it. And God is saying, I have more for you. You see? But there are things that God does limit us on. We'll take one, for instance. I've mentioned this before, and it's always, maybe it's just one of those things as a little kid, our little child, I remember daydreaming about, you know, wanting to look into the future. Like, what's my life going to be like in 10 years? 20 years, you know. Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? What kind of job will I have? You know, all those little things are, how tall will I be? You know, little ponderments that I didn't know the answer. And to this day, there's still so many things in the future I don't have an answer for. But again, God, it's as if He puts, there's a reason why God is God and why we are His beings. Because, as the scripture says, He is a jealous God. Here's what happens I'll share this little story about the first emperor of China. You see, God knows that mankind left to themselves can really, if they think they can figure things out, they can get themselves in quite a pickle. I'll share this little story about Ying Cheng. He was the first emperor of China and quite an impressive emperor. He had an army of about 1 million soldiers, and he ruled with brutality. I can't fathom the number of 1 million to begin with. That's a lot of soldiers. That's quite an army. Quite an intimidating factor there. And he was boasted that he was going to be the head of this Chinese dynasty for 10,000 years. That's how long his dynasty was going to last. That his son and his son's son and all the way down, his family lineage, that this dynasty is going to last for 10,000 years. Well, it didn't. But there's some more impressive facts. His palace was quite the palace. It was 1.5 miles long by 0.5 miles wide. That's quite a structure. And he was the one that built the Great Wall of China. And you want to know how long that wall is? They say it can reach, it's almost as long as from New York to L.A. and back again. That's a long wall. And it says that he was, of course, a lot of forced laborers, thousands died while he was building this wall. But again, he's trying to build his dynasty, trying to build up his empire, that he is the one and only. All right? And the interesting thing was, he was worried about dying. Imagine that. And he was so worried about it that he hired some men to search for the fountain of youth. He was desperate. I got to find how to live forever almost, you know, at least, I don't know, several hundred years. He obviously failed at that. But he was so scared for his life that he would move from, he had several, I don't know how many little palaces, and he would move almost every night or every day from one palace to the next, all right? Just so no one could catch up with him. Again, afraid for his life. But isn't that interesting? The greatest emperor, and yet he's afraid for his life? You see the fallacy of humanity, how we can get ourselves in that position that we truly are temporary, although there's times we try to make ourselves something we're not. And that's exactly what he was doing. Here's the sad part. He was ultimately assassinated by his own prime minister at the age of 41. That's pretty young. Wasn't able to live a long, fulfilled life. And the very thing he was trying to guard against from being assassinated, moving from little palace to little palace at nighttime, sneaking through tunnels, doing all these things, and yet his life was taken. And to make it worse, his son was killed too. So there's the end of the dynasty. Lasted one generation. That was man's plans. That was his plans for his life. Some have said it this way: those who appear as gods before men soon appear as men before God. Now, let that soak in a little bit. You see, King Solomon, I was talking about him earlier, he had a great position. And he found the secret of the Lord. He found the secret to not the long life here on earth, but the long eternal life. He found the secret of the Lord by fearing Him. And he had everything going well, but he let it slip. He lost the secret. It's like, and then what? And then you have this Ying Cheng, the first emperor of China, never did find the secret. And it was very obvious. He lived his life in fear of who? Of other men. Not in true fear and reverence of God. And God allowed it to be cut short. Again, I believe God just, He has his ways and his reasons why he did. I don't know. But to me, there's an obvious lesson to be learned here, that beware. If you try to make something of yourself, by yourself, it's liable to come crashing down, just like it did with the first emperor of China. You know, there's a lot of things. As I mentioned earlier, God is a jealous God. You see, if this emperor could have lived to be maybe, I don't know, 100 years old, don't you think he would have been pretty proud? You know, I mean, just think about it. You know, and I don't know what all of it would have happened. But God did not want to leave any doubt with this first emperor or with anyone else that God was the one ultimately in control. Okay? Now, I want to contrast this with the story of Job. You remember the story of Job? Did he ever become a king or a prince? Did he ever have this high position? And look at all the things that were taken from him. But you know what? Job found the secret of the Lord. He found the secret. And that, guess what? He's living forever. He found the fountain of youth in the Lord. You see what I'm saying? He found it all in Jesus. Well, back then it was in God. Jesus hadn't come yet to the fulfillment that we know and understand. But he found his contentment in allowing God to be God. Okay? Allowing God, yes, God took this. He took his wealth, took his family, took his health, took all those things. And Job could have said, woe is me, you know, and just curled up and died. But no, God didn't take his life. In fact, he told Satan, you can do everything but touch his life. You can't take his life. And Job was content to allow God to be God. To fear and reverence the Lord, that was the secret. He found the secret, and guess what? He kept that secret. Not that he kept it to himself, that's not the point. But he hid it within his heart. Did not let it go like King Solomon did. He let it go. He let it slip. The secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. There's another scripture talking about God being a jealous God. It's in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. In verse 8, it says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You see, mankind is going to try to do everything possible, not just to live forever, but to have control. You see, it's more than most of us, we'll just say in America, most of us are not going to be the president. There's just a very small select few, okay? Most of us are never going to be a king or an emperor or even a governor or even a senator. You see what I'm saying? A big executive of a Fortune 500 company. Most of us are never going to be in that type of position. All right? So then what is this really talking about? I believe what God is wanting to get across to us is that in our own individual lives, who are we seeking not just to please, but who are we seeking, period? Remember King Solomon? I'll remind us again. He realized the great task at hand of being king of Israel. And he's saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. That's why when he was given the opportunity, he's like, Lord, give me wisdom that I would know how to come in and out among your people. He realized how small and insignificant he was in himself. And he realized how big and mighty and powerful God was. You see, that again was the secret. So I believe what God wants to get across to all of us is how small and insignificant in ourselves that we are. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to get sidetracked, We are important to the Lord. And we are important to the work of the gospel and spreading the gospel to the world. All right. But that must come after the fact we realize how small and insignificant and undone we really are. That we are human flesh. What did God say? That He knoweth our frame and it is but dust. You realize that's what we're really, literally made of? We're made of dirt. We're just walking sticks of mud. Basically, dirt mixed with water. That's what we're really composed of. And God wants us to never forget that. You see, that's what happened King Solomon. He got lifted up. He forgot that. That's what happened to this emperor of China. He forgot. I don't think he ever really knew, perhaps. I'm sure God dealt with him, but it's like, whatever. And went on his way. But I believe that's what God wants us to get a hold of. The secret of the Lord is to remember how small we are and how big God is. To fear and reverence Him as He really is. Now, we'll just take a little time here and ask ourselves some questions or some reasons perhaps. Why does God hide the future from us? And why does He limit our understanding of things? You know, God has a reason in that. And I don't have all the reasons because I'm not God. Okay? But I'm just going to share a few in my experiences and observations. And these are scriptural as well. In fact, we'll read a couple more scriptures. But number one, I'll have to say, first of all, I live an interesting life. It's full of surprises. I never know what's going to happen. Well, I don't know what God's going to do. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to do. Okay? But the point is, serving the Lord keeps life interesting. It's full of surprises. And as I mentioned, you never know what God may do. I'll be honest with you. I've shared this before. 25 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever, never would have dreamed of myself standing up here behind a pulpit. I want to tell you something. That came as a surprise and a shock to me, okay? That's why I'm saying you never know what God may do. You never know what He may call you to do. You never know what He may send your way. Life is interesting, full of surprises. And I'm content with that. Another one. I believe God hides these things from us to, again, remind us of our humanity and frailty. I'm only 38 years old, but I'll have to say, along with many others that I've witnessed here that have confessed to the same thing, my memory slips sometimes. I just forget things, simple things. And I'm human. And there's also other things that it's like, sometimes it's just hard to grasp. I'm like, Lord, and it may be for months or weeks or years, God may be working and dealing with me in a certain area. And I'm like, I'm just not getting it. And then all of a sudden, bing, I get it. It may come through a message or a scripture I read or a comment someone makes. I'm like, oh, why did I never see that for years? You know what God whispers to me? You're human. Okay? I'm okay with that. Because I realize I'm not Superman. There's a lot of things I can't do. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's things I'll forget. And I'm okay with that. Another one. God keeps us in a position to be dependent upon Him. Just like a little child. And you know what? I'm content with that. To be a child of God. I don't want to be, and we're not, a brother of God. That means like an equal. No, we are a child of God. What's the scripture say in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4? It says, He said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. Now, He's not talking about coming as little midgets to Him. That's not what He's saying. If you come in that mindset of a child, innocent, but yet yearning for leadership, yearning for someone stronger, bigger than them, He says, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You realize that is a secret of the Lord? The world does not get it. They don't. It doesn't take you very long to walk down the street, drive down the road, go in a grocery store or on the job or wherever you're at, and realize people just don't get it. They don't have the secret of the Lord. They don't reverence God for who He is. They think they are mightier than anyone else, including yourself. They're going to stomp you. They're going to beat you. They're going to do this, and because they think they're something, when really they're not. All right? We need to be like a little child, a child of God. Lord, I don't know what to do. You're going to have to take over. That's music to the Lord's ears. That's true fear and reverence of God. And here's another one. The last one I have written down here anyway. This one's so obvious, but sometimes we miss it. All God is wanting to do is find a people. We'll break it down a little closer. Find one person. You, me, whoever. Find one person that will trust Him with their whole heart. Because we don't know the future. We don't know ourselves like we think we do. We don't know everyone else like we think we do. But God knows it all. God's not fooled by anything. Think of the scripture in Psalms 118 and 8. And I've tried to hammer this one into the young people. An interesting little side note, this particular scripture is the middle scripture of the whole Bible. You know what it is? It's in Psalms 118 and 8. And I think it's very fitting. I think God allowed it to be the middle scripture for a reason. Do you think He can do that? I think He can. I think He can. And He did. It's very important. Simple scripture. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. How simple is that? How obvious it is to us, but the world just seems like they glide right over it. They're putting confidence in themselves, in their whoever else, mankind in general. And the Lord's saying, it's better. You would be better off. You'd be saved a lot of heartache, a lot of extra pain, if you would trust in me. Find the secret of the Lord. I mentioned this before, Brother Ed has too. It's like we're flying underneath the radar, so to speak. The world is just moving, busting forward. Don't even realize what God is trying to do, trying to get their attention, allowing things to happen in their lives. Say, hey, slow down. You're not God of your life. God's saying, I'm God, and I'm a jealous God. And I don't like that you're looking to mankind and yourself to fix all these things. He's like, I want to fix these for you because I can do them perfectly, God says. Do you believe that this morning? That God can fix whatever it is perfectly? I believe He can. Look at His creation. That's proof enough to me. God can do that with you and I. But the secret is to fear and reverence Him for who He really is. That is the secret recipe to a happy and fulfilled life. You pray for me that I be faithful.